you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 4. The book of Luke chapter 4. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we can all remember certain points in time when something happened that made a big difference in our lives. Maybe it was an unexpected conversation that inspired or uplifted you, or maybe just gave you that boost when you needed it. Or perhaps it may have been a teacher who shared a piece of wisdom to you that just kind of galvanized and set your course for a new path of action to take in your life. Memorable moments stick in our minds, and often for the rest of our lives. And they can make us think differently about our jobs, our families, as well as the world around us. And we can all look back in moments that we've had in our lives, and they seem so ordinary, perhaps, at that moment that they happen or occur in our lives. But as with the passage of time that goes on in our lives, we realize that they have become defining moments that impacted the course of our lives. Steve Jobs, he's gone now, but he was once a billionaire, said that you can only connect the dots by looking back. And he was right. And when we look back in our lives at everything that was unleashed in a moment of time, we can begin connecting those dots to see where we are today. Here at Prayer of Faith, Pastor Adam and I, our goal is to provide you with biblically based messages. We want them to help you in your life with Christ. We want to help them challenge and inspire and just kind of equip you to live for Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to do today is I would like to take a look at what the power of a moment in time can do. A power in the moment of time can hold in our lives as we live our life for Jesus. But before we begin, let me encourage you to join me in shouting out to the Father in the very last chapter, the very last verse in the book of Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Luke chapter 4 this morning is a story that I'm sure that we all have heard. Jesus is fasting in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and then old Satan comes to him. And I'd like to focus this morning on the fifth verse of Luke chapter 4. The Bible says,
verse 4. Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Verse 5. And he led him up and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whom I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Please bow with me. Father, we gather here this morning and in the sanctuary of your safety. Thank you for allowing us a place to worship you, to hear the gospel, to hear the word. And we thank you for the fellowship and the family that have gathered here today to sing praises to you and worship you. And we ask that you will strengthen us. We ask that you would restore us. We ask that you would inspire us with your amazing love. And we ask you, Father, to please fill our hearts full of your peace that you so freely give. So that as we begin to journey onwards, that we would be able to pour out your love and grace to others who are around us. And we ask today that our souls would be able to catch the wind of your Spirit so that we would be able to take your promises to all of those around us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus is in his face down with the devil. And if you look in verse 5, it says, then the devil, taking up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Notice the last part of that sentence. It says, in a moment of time. In a moment of time. Verse 6, and the devil said to him, I'll give you all of this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I can give it to whomever I wish. And he's saying to Jesus, for this has been delivered to me by God the Father. I got it through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and I use it as I can do with it. I can give it as I wish. Listen to what Satan says. I can give it to whomever I wish. Church, I want to tell you today that not everything that comes to you in the form of beautiful stuff is from the Lord. I mean, the devil in his power has the ability to give his kingdom to people. Don't play with the devil. Don't play with the occult. Don't play with any of that stuff. And notice what else he says. He says, I will give you their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I'll give it to whomever I wish. Verse 7, therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus was sitting there before Satan, and he basically said, get behind me, Satan. I mean, look at verse 8. It says, Jesus answered and said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I want to talk about that verse, and I want to talk about it specifically, about the power of the moment in time in verse 5. Satan offered everything to Jesus. In the temptation, if they were out in the wilderness, and you know, we're all vulnerable when we're all out and alone, especially for that length of time. And so the first point I want to make to you is that it doesn't take the devil long to show you all that he has to offer to you. Didn't take him a whole chapter in the Bible. Didn't take him a book. It only took him a moment to show him everything that he could offer. And that's because all that the devil has to offer is the same old, same old. What he came against Jesus with in the wilderness, in the Word today, in our passage, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that's still his bag of tricks today. He still uses that same thing. Different forms, different cultures, different ways. It's very repetitive on what he does. And he offers you the very best first. And then it goes downhill from there. He offers you the penthouse first. But he never shows you the pig pen until later. He offers you the beautiful, beautiful Delilah, but he never shows you the chains. He never shows you the eyes being plucked out. He never shows you the grinding of the mill. That's how the enemy does. He can show you what he has to offer you in a moment of time, and then it goes downhill from there. In my years serving the Lord, I can truly say that the longer I serve Him, the more I'm amazed. Because God keeps the best for last. Amen? And remember that, young people, young adults. God keeps the best for last. Just when you think that you have seen all that God can do and all that God is in your life and in my life, just when you find Him as your Savior and you think that that's the most amazing thing, the refreshment you feel once your sins have been cleansed and Jesus Christ makes you a new creature in Him, then you discover that He's not just your Savior, He's also your healer. Thank you, by the way, for praying for my mom. She's really doing good. She's recovering really well. The doctor said this week, he said, you're doing so well, you really don't need that pacemaker. which didn't make her happy, but he said, we need to leave that in there just in case. But he said, you're doing fabulous. And so thank you for your prayers. I really appreciate that. But you discover that he is your healer and your savior. But then you discover that he's also your provider. And he's also your burden bearer. And he's also your comforter. Jesus is whatever we need him to be in our life to get us through the victory and to us and for us to follow his will. Because he's a good God. And he keeps blessing us better and better and better. Satan offered Jesus everything. He had control, and he could offer that. If Jesus would just bow down and worship him. What he was telling Jesus was this: I can help you. I can help you avoid that cross. And I can give you all this. You want to conquer the world? It's right up my alley. Then I can give you this. I've made kings. I've made leaders to conquer nations. And I can give you all of this. Avoid the cross. Avoid the pain. Avoid the sacrifice. Avoid the dying. You don't have to do none of that. I can help you. I'm your guy. In other words, and here's Satan's tactic. He always offers more for less. He always offers more for less commitment. He always offers more for less sacrifice. He always offers more for less consecration. He says to us, you can have it. Just go through me and I can offer you much less. Much less, but you get more. But he never fulfills that. Because his side of that contract is only just a moment in time. In a moment in time, Jesus was offered it all. And the devil knew that. That this is the moment I can do to change the entire history of mankind. But thanks to the Father, Jesus didn't listen to him. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to take that shortcut. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take all of the possessions that you've given me. Because I'm going to carry that cross over there. And I'm going to go through the pain that it has with it. And I'm going to go through the process of having to shed my blood. And I'm going to go through the process of going through the agony of torture. And I will possess everything that you just offered me. But I am not going to take the shortcut. I'm going to let my God, my Father, do it the right way. Everything. Now this is the point now. Everything that God has done for 4,000 years in the covenant, in the Old Testament covenant, is leading up to this pinnacle moment right here. The temptation came down to this moment. All of it came down to one moment where Jesus, if he had said yes and given in to the temptation of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, and the direction of the enemy for his life, then all of the Old Testament that was written, all of the Old Testament prophets, all of the miracles that had been done in the Old Testament would have been done in vain. The calling of Abraham, the calling of Moses, the Ten Commandments, all of those Bible heroes that you read about in the Old Covenant, it was all dependent upon, and this amazes me, it was all dependent upon a moment of time. Jesus was tempted with a shortcut, and it came down to the decision that he made. Everything hinged on this moment. If Jesus had yielded in that moment of temptation, then it would have changed the course of all mankind for all of eternity. I mean, if you think about it, a moment is one of the smallest increments of time. I mean, seconds, milliseconds, we have all that. But a moment, just one moment. There are moments
that can affect your years. There are moments that it can affect your life. There are moments that can dictate your future, your destiny. And there are moments that will affect those. It just takes a little bit. And the devil says to us, if you'll just give me a moment of your life, take the shortcut. Don't listen to God. Don't listen to all of the wisdom that your family tries to give you. Don't listen to all of that stuff that you've been raised in. Don't listen to those church folk, last of all. I'm offering you something right here. And this moment looks good. Feels good. Just take it. And the devil says, give me this moment, and I'll give you next year's prosperity. If you'll just give me the moment, I'll give you your years. On the other hand, God says, give me this moment, and I will give you your years. Same thing. Which one will you choose? I don't know about you, but I know the years I want. I don't want the devil's years coming down the road. I just don't want it. I want the years that God can give to me and that God can give to you as well. I want the future that God holds for me. And I know that you want the future that God holds for you. I want the life that God gives me. I don't want those years that Satan can give us. Jesus, in a moment of time where he had to make a decision, it affected the years following. For others, not just him, for others. In the Bible, it tells us that Samson also had a moment. For 20 years, Samson lived under the Nazarite vow, and the Bible says that he became a judge in Israel. And then he, and the Bible is very clear about it, that he judged Israel for 20 years after that. And so that's a combination of 40 years. For 40 years, he was a mighty leader in Israel. For 40 years, he was a beacon of light to everyone who looked at him and upon him. And for 40 years, he kept the Nazarite vow. It was a threefold vow. He made that to God. His mom, he said, I have kept the vow. And he told Delilah that when he met her. He says, I've kept the vow from my mother's womb. Now, what's the Nazarite vow? Well, the Nazarite vow is, one, no alcohol will touch my lips. Number two, no razor will touch my hair. And number three, I will not touch any dead thing. That's what the Nazarites did. Jesus was a Nazarene, by the way. And this was a Nazarite vow that he made to God under the old covenant. You notice when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he didn't go in the tomb and said, wake up, buddy, I'm here. He had others go in to unwrap the bandages and to bring Lazarus forth. And so Samson, with the Nazarite vow, that means if he went into a feast, there was no alcohol there. He couldn't take any to drink. That meant if he went into a field and if there was a dead animal in that field, then he would have to walk around it. And I know these sound kind of like rigid vows that they made, but couldn't touch any dead things, and never could have his hair cut, couldn't drink any alcohol. But what I'm trying to say to you is this, is that Samson for 40 years was a great, great testimony of what God could do to a person when a man is consecrated. But in one unguarded moment, it's possible for 40 years to fall and for him to fall into something that he was not ready for. You can't help but think that maybe some of us are in the most dangerous years of our life right now. Because some of you have been in church all of your life. Some of you have grew up in church, grew up around good and godly people. And you can mess all of those years up in one unguarded moment. All the years that you've served him, all the years that you have done right, all the years when you've lived a purposeful life, all of the years when you have loved God and you have honored God with all of your life, it can come down to one moment. One moment. And that one moment, if you give it to the enemy, it'll hurt you. Sometimes it'll kill you. But it can hurt you for the years to come. And I feel like today that we need to understand that this man Samson, in that moment, when he laid his head down in Delilah's lap, after 40 years of doing things the way that God wanted him to do it for his life, he laid his head down in the lap of Delilah, and she said, "Samson, just tell me your secret." And finally he gave in and said, "If you cut my hair, then I'll be just like normal men." And I think sometimes our culture today, there's such a longing for so many people where they say, I just want to be normal. I just want to be accepted with others. Sometimes I wish I wasn't raised in a Christian family. I wish I didn't have a mom and dad who had strong morals with me. I certainly wish I don't have a church that they're always telling me to do this and they're telling me not to do that and telling me what I need to do. I just want to be normal. I just want to have a normal life with normal people around me. Do you really? Do you not see that the new normal that you see in our culture today has many demonic influences in it? The new normal today is just eating people up, and it's just chewing them, spitting them out, both physically and emotionally. It's destroying, it's killing, and absolutely trying to ruin people's lives. I don't want to be the new normal. I'll take my future and I'll put it in the hands of my King, Jesus Christ. And I choose that in this moment. I want to honor God, and I know that you do too. And when I do, in that moment of time, He takes over the years that I've honored God. And if we fail, we fail. We're human. We do that. I'm not saying that to make an excuse, but I'm saying that to talk about our fragility. But our God is the forgiving God through the path of repentance. Amen? Doesn't matter how long that you have lived for God. It doesn't matter how great that you have kept His vows. It doesn't matter how great you've kept His promises in the past. Just be careful. Just be careful and don't let one unguarded moment destroy everything that you have done for God. One temptation, one surrendering is all that it takes to become a victim of a weak moment. Because all it takes to change the world even, that can happen in one weak moment. Samson's life was changed. He went from victor to victim. He went from winning to losing. He went from a hero to a zero. And what happens a lot of times when we read that story is we kind of want to leave him there. But I didn't come today just to tell you to be careful. Because we do need to hear that in this day and time. You do need to be careful. We do need to stay alert. We need to be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can chew up to devour and sometimes spit out. And we do need to have our guard up. We need to have our alert on high, for it's time today for the church to awaken. Awaken. Can you say awaken with me this morning? Awaken. Amen. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, for the reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon you, will shine upon you." This is a serious moment in human history. This is a serious moment in time where evil today is being called good, and good today is being called evil in the culture we live. And we need to be aware of what is going on in this moment of time in my life and in your life.
But I'm also glad to tell you that there was another moment. Another moment of time in the life of Samson. When he was dragged in. If you remember, they arrested him. Delilah cut his hair. They arrested him. They plucked his eyes out. Samson lost all of his strength, all of his power. He shook himself as other times and wished that the Spirit had not departed him, but it did, because he broke his vow. And the men overcame him that could never overcome him before because of his strength. But now they're able to overcome him. They threw Samson in a dungeon. He grinded about the millstone just like every day, just like an ox would. And then there came a day. There came a day, the Bible said, that God was going to give him another moment in time. And this is not just another moment in his life, but there are times in my life and in your life when God gives us those redeeming moments. And in that moment when they sent for Samson, the Philistines sent for him and brought him to the temple of Dagon. And the Bible said in the book of Judges chapter 16 that the Philistines sent for Samson to make sport of him or to make fun of him, to mock him for all that he had before, God's strength and his power. And in that moment, they want to bring him in and they're willing. They're all sitting around and partying and they're laughing. And he's now the entertainment of the big party that they've hosted. And they bring him in bound with chains. And to make it worse, the Bible said that they had a little boy lead him in to show that he was powerless. Leading him in by hand. And they walk into the temple, they're making sport, they're whistling, they're calling him names, they're probably throwing things, food at him, what else at him, because he's blind, can't see, he's helpless. And then Samson says to the little boy, take me to the pillars of the temple and put my hands on the temple pillars. And, of course, the boy leads him to the pillars of the temple and puts his hands on the pillars. And the two major pillars that held the temple up. And then comes these powerful words from Samson. It says he prayed. He prayed. In Judges chapter 16, verse 26, then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this one time, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And God said, I'm going to give you another moment of time if you'll pray. I know that the enemy thinks that he's already won this scenario. And I know that he's written the last part of history. And I know that he thinks that you messed up along with all the rest of your years and that you're going to walk in shame. You're going to walk in disgrace. You're going to walk in pain. But no, you're not. Not today. And church, if you will listen today, if you will awaken today, God can give you another moment in time to make things right. And it begins with prayer. It begins by saying, God, will you please help me? Samson said, remember me, remember me. Forgive me. I'm sorry. God, I always haven't been in this condition, bound and chained and blind without vision. Will you please remember me and strengthen me just one more time, just one more time. Just let me have your power just one more time. Let me feel the freedom one more time. Give me your touch in my life just one more time. And church, we are in that moment this morning. If you understand what I'm expressing to you, it's this, that we don't get many moments. They come seasonably in our lives. God is a redeeming God and will forgive you. But we also have a free will.
And sometimes that free will doesn't see those moments that God gives us, depending on the path we're at. And when you do get them, you have to make it right what you made wrong. And when you feel, when God is speaking to you, when you feel the Holy Spirit convicting your heart, when the Spirit is drawing you, then that is your opportunity. That is your moment of time. It may not come today. It may not come tomorrow, or even next week, or even next month. It may be years. But one moment will come. I promise you. The moment will come when the Lord gives you that opportunity. And if you'll pray, it'll turn events around. Samson prayed and he called upon the name of the Lord. And he pushed those pillars and the power of God came down upon him one more time and filled his arms and legs full of the strength of the power of the God Almighty. And the house fell. Yes, he was killed along with his enemies. And the falling of the temple. But the story doesn't end there. Because if you read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 32, you'll find a little entry there. It speaks about how Samson's name is in God's hall of faith. You see, what we want to do is write somebody out of the book when they fail. When they mess up. God says you're going to suffer some results in your life because of the moment, what you've done. But I'm not going to write you out. I'm going to write you in. I'm going to write you in. And God put him in the hall of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, right up there with the big guys like Abraham and Moses and Noah. And he puts this guy who in a moment of time failed, but also in a moment of time, he prayed that God would turn it around and restore his life. And we often write Samson off in the book of biblical history. But God writes Samson back in the book. The Word of God didn't write him off. The Word of God wrote him in. And when you understand this, it gives us hope that you can pray. And God can say, I'm removing you from the shame. I'm removing you from the guilt. I'm forgiving you. I'm cleansing you. One more time, I'm going to give you an opportunity to serve me. And God wrote him into the future, even as a great man who failed. And you and I may have done so many things right. And we fail. And you may be so disgusted with yourself because of something that went wrong in your life in a moment of time. I guess what I'm trying to get across today is that when we begin to awaken our spirit, God doesn't just leave us there to suffer. He can restore. And I'm so thankful for His mercy. I'm so thankful for His grace. I'm so thankful that He says, here's another chance for you. Here's another moment in time that I'm going to give you to change things and to turn things around in your life. And someone may be in those moments now who is hearing this today. Someone may be able, or someone may be ready to make some decisions in a moment of time that maybe you'll regret for years. But if you hear what I am saying this morning, and if you failed maybe perhaps in one of those moments and made a bad mistake, I want you to hear also that with God, He will give you hope. Because there's another moment in time. And that's right here for you, because today, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Even this moment, today, it may be perhaps, God is offering you another moment. Even in this moment, God is saying, this is a moment to reconnect. This is a moment to be restored back to what you know what is right and what to do. And that is your love for God. And His name is Jesus. God is saying, I'm just waiting on you. I want you to know that I have a plan for you and that I love you. And in the moment that you say, I have sinned, please forgive me, no sooner than you finish that sentence, the Lord has put it away. It's over. Sin is gone, and grace and mercy that we sing about, this praise comes flooding in. Because He's the way maker. He can make a way when there's no way. When the enemy has told you, I gave you a moment in time, you took it, and now you failed. God is the way maker. And there's a moment in time that He can give you to make it right. Apostle Paul, he had a moment in time. He was on his road to Damascus, and he found his moment of time in the book of Acts. Paul's life was forever changed in that moment. And as a consequence of that moment of time, today, both you and I are the recipients of Paul's writings and the doctrinal teachings that he provides today in the Word of God. Scripture tells us that Paul had many experiences in and with the Lord that were life-changing for him that we can apply to our lives. If you remember Esther, she also had a moment of time in her life that affected others. When she made the decision to go before her king, she did it without knowing that she may or may not be received. And if that was possible, if she was not received, that she could be put to death for that. But it happened that she was received. And in the end, she saved her people from a devastating annihilation, which you can read about in the book of Esther. And God will make something good out of the bad. God can make something that was done wrong into something that can be a blessing to both you and others. Did you know that the Coca-Cola that both you and I love was kind of a result of an accident that happened? In 1886, a pharmacist named John Pemberton, he cooked up this medicinal syrup in this vat, and he a large brass kettle slung over an open fire, and he stirred it with an oar, like a boat oar, because it was so big. And when he was done, he figured that he created this first tonic, or this fine tonic, to help people who were tired or nervous or plagued with sore teeth. And then one day his assistant mixed it with ice water and sipped it and proclaimed it to be very tasty. Well, they wanted some more. So they made up a new batch, stirred it, but this time the assistant accidentally used carbonated water to mix the second batch. He failed. In that moment of time, he put the wrong water in, and he failed to make it as the pharmacist had intended and had instructed it to be. But now, instead of medicine, these men created a fizzy beverage, but one that's consumed all around the world ever since that time. So don't give up. Don't quit. We've all had moments in time. Keep serving Him. Because love never fails. Love never... Remember that. Love never fails. Families fail. Dads fail. Moms fail. Husbands fail. Wives fail. Brothers fail. Sisters will fail you. But God is love. But love will never fail you. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. I will be forever grateful for a young man named Glenn Watson, who took the initiative in my life to move in my direction to be a mentor as a young youth worker back in my day, during a very impressionable time in my life. That seemingly ordinary moment of time changed everything for me. Just imagine what might happen when we look for opportunities to do what the Spirit is prompting us to do, to do in the lives of others around us? What kind of impact could you have? Think about that. In just a moment of time, the impact you have that could possibly change the course, that could change the path for the better of those who God places before us and in our walk. So be sensitive. Be awake for the Spirit in our lives, to those who God puts in our path. Allow Him to use you. Allow Him to unleash the power of a moment in the lives of others. Our loving Father, through the sacrifice of His precious Son, can cleanse you. He can restore you. He can redeem you through Him. And so as we reflect upon God's love since it's the beginning of the year, let's be reminded of our role to actively find His love so that we can begin to share His love. I mean, the beginning of this year is a perfect time to awaken your spirit and to commit your life into pursuing what He has for you and His destiny for you as a child of God. To awaken our spirit, to commit in our ways in serving Him through obedience. Is today the day? Is today that moment in time? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe hear this knocking at your heart's door. Maybe feel this odd feeling in your chest. Could be the Holy Spirit prompting you to serve Him. Is today the moment in time that you determine for God to awaken your spirit to His call? Let's bow together and pray.